The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everybody else on the planet, welcome to the Green Front on this Wednesday, October 26th. Lots of environmental headlines in today's paper that I will mention in a minute. We are going to be talking about what we do every week, those on the Green Front lines, striving to bring you tales of people devoted to making our planet a better place. And today's show is going to be devoted to some young people who are on the front lines of education and activism toward a healthier planet and people. We'll be speaking with some students that I had the pleasure of meeting about a month ago. They go to a high school in Wisconsin that is devoted for an entire semester to environmental and outdoor education. We'll hear about their pivotal experiences stemming from their planetary concerns. Next, we'll meet an amazing young woman who spent her summer riding her bicycle across these United States, sometimes United, the red and blue states, but she is greening it along the way, as is her program, Bike and Build. We'll find out about that program that builds affordable housing along the way with a green tint, of course. In the second half of today's show, we'll talk with Joel Francis. He is a college senior who has issued a debate challenge to the Koch brothers. Koch brothers, of course, of Proposition 23 and Tea Party fame. So just looking through today's papers, I had to take a couple of articles out to mention. First of all, I turned on the Today Show this morning, and once again, I swear this happens at least a couple times a week these days. There's some record storm that has caused damage and sometimes even cost lives. This one, a Midwest storm, they say among the top five strongest ever recorded in the United States. We'll talk to our friends in Wisconsin. Maybe they felt part of that system that went through. Also, a big story in the San Francisco Chronicle on the front page, how global warming is said to be a threat, an imminent threat to the parks in this state, California, but I'm sure that this news is the same for other parks in other states across our country. Another story, a headline says, many vertebrates seen closer to extinction, a really disturbing story about how quickly we are losing some species. And then in the same paper, this is some positive news and an interesting juxtaposition, I thought, worth mentioning together. This headline in another article says, conservation slows animal extinction. So, again, the bad news and the good news. The bad news is we have seen the enemy, and the enemy appears to be us. And, of course, that's the good news because only we can turn things around, and that's what this show is dedicated to. So I'm going to take a breath and welcome my first guest, and that is going to be Alex Butel and Kayla Fratt joining us from Conserve High School. I had the pleasure of meeting them when I was speaking in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, about a month ago at the Nicolet College. That's the a community college devoted to technical education, technology education, and it's a very green campus. I was happy to see they have a wind turbine on that campus as well as some solar panels, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to speak at a sustainability fair, and they had a pretty good turnout for their first ever fair, and most heartwarming was the kids who came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for that positive message about how there will be green jobs out there, or if not, we should go out and create them. Welcome to the Green Front, Alex and Kayla.
Hi, thank you.
Hey.
So it was wonderful to meet you, and thank you both for following up with me. And I hope that even if you didn't learn a lot from me in my presentation, because you are so well-versed in what's going on with our environment and climate change, hopefully you were a little inspired to hear me say that go out and create a green career, even if the jobs aren't there, because the future is green or not at all, since we're here and we've got to get there. Ecologically, that should be a lot of opportunity. Tell me first, Alex, what you are hoping to learn about in school and then go on to do, and we'll hear the same from Kayla. And then I just want to go back and learn a little bit more about what got you interested in this high school and a little bit about its unique curriculum.
Yeah. I guess I had some ideas, but I think now, so I just came here because I was really interested in the outdoors and I love being outside, and I really feel that we got to push to try to conserve what we have and preserve the natural world and stuff like that. And I guess right now I'm kind of looking into sustainable agriculture and organic farming and stuff like that because I feel that the food production is really, really big on, I guess, pollution, and it's so fundamental in our lives that we need to be changing that, and it should be healthier and safer and just better for the planet in general.
Great. And Kayla, how about you? What's your interest in this program?
All right. Well, kind of everything. I am really big on animals. That's part of what got me into conserve school. I really like being outdoors, and I am really concerned about special climate change because I'm a Nordic skier, and whenever we don't have snow, it's really upsetting to me. So, yeah, kind of the same thing as Alex. I'm mostly just interested in the outdoors and kind of preserving what we have and hopefully rehabilitating what we've already kind of messed up. And I'm hopefully going to look into something with communications, either writing or maybe speaking of some sort, kind of speaking out for the world.
And that's my favorite topic, so I'm happy to hear that.
Right.
So this school is pretty unique. I don't know of any other. Do you guys know if there's another school in the country that devotes its curriculum, at least for a semester at a time, to inspiring environmental stewardship?
I don't think so. There are some other outdoor leadership type semester schools, but none that are environmentally focused.
And do you know a little bit about the history? Was this a vision of a founder? I know it's not very old, and when I heard that the name was actually Conserve School, of course, my antenna perked up and I got very excited because, like you said, this is a unique prototype. So was there one person behind this vision, or what led to its founding?
Yeah. The original owner of this land that the school is currently on was James R. Lowenstein, and his family owned it. And he was really big into hunting and fishing and just loved the place up here. And he actually owned the Chicago Steel and Wire Company, and that's how he amassed a lot of his wealth and stuff. And when he died, he put in his will that he wanted to have this land dedicated or made into a school to teach kids to conserve and keep what we have and stuff. So I think in 2002 the school started, and he died in 96. So in his will he put that he wanted this to become a school, and he left a lot of money for this. So it's an amazing experience for all of us, and really good that he decided to leave all his money, or a good portion of it, to try and build a school and teach kids about that.
And about how many students do you have there at the school, knows that?
We currently have 47.
So that's pretty small.
Yeah, we just have, we've got mostly juniors, a couple seniors and sophomores, and it's just one group of kids at a time, and they're shooting for anywhere from 30 to 60 students per semester, and we all basically have the same core curriculum, so it's kind of like having one grade at a time.
Uh-huh. And do you come from the surrounding area, or do people come from farther away because you are so unique?
We've got kids from 14 states, I believe, as far away as California and Florida. Some kids from the East Coast also.
So it is a boarding school.
Right, yes.
Yeah. A lot of Midwest, too. We got Michigan, Wisconsin, so good representation from all around. It's really great that this many people wanted to come up.
What are the teachers like there? I imagine pretty cool.
Yeah, they're awesome. Most of them are, they're either friends or heroes or both. They're the best teaching staff I've ever been.
I think it's really nice, too, that they're so passionate about what they are doing. Like, they obviously want to be here, so that's really cool, too.
And you get out there a lot. You're in the North Woods, I guess, so I don't know, this time of year it's probably snowing?
Yeah, it actually just snowed for the first time today, and we actually went outside for English class anyway to enjoy the snow. We're outside almost every day for some reason or another, usually educational.
I love it. So you're out there in the snowstorm learning English. That's something. I love a picture of that.
that's really true
outdoor ed.
Right.
Good hands-on stuff. Way better way to learn than sitting in a classroom.
Yeah,
you must get a lot of exercise at that school. You probably don't even need a PE class per se because you're outdoors so much just learning.
Yeah, basically.
So tell me about some of your favorite classes. Joel, you can go first, and then Kayla. You say you loved all your teachers. What is the most compelling topic as far as a specific segment of our environmental challenges that really gets you either both concerned or turned on and passionate and, you know, determined to do something about?
For me, I feel that we have an AP environmental science class here, and I really feel like the other classes are really good, but I think that one was really eye-opening to me. Just, I don't feel like they teach you all these things, like all the different problems, and like, I think it's also cool to look back. We did a history the first couple weeks of the history of the environmental problems and stuff like that, and just like seeing how many problems there were, but I think it was also nice to see the advancements that have come from that, so it's not like it's all gloom and doom. There's hope, and we can do stuff about it, and it's really cool to learn what those problems are and then think, all right, now I got to go and do something to change it.
I love it. Kayla?
Well, AP Environmental Science is also my favorite class, but I'm not going to talk about the same class as Alex and be redundant. We've currently been doing a lot of public speaking in our English class. So he's kind of, Jeff Reneke, our teacher, has been trying to teach us to use our voices to advocate for the environment and what we really believe in, which I think is really cool, and it's very empowering. I've never had a public speaking class before, so.
And that's a great way to learn these skills, but with a particular subject that you happen to be passionate about. So it's a great way to really experience sort of hands-on learning and why what you're learning in high school and in college is relevant to the real world. I can't think of a better example, and I can't think of a more important topic, having been one who has been saying, you know, if we don't educate people on the environment, we won't have a population that demands cleaner, greener products, programs, policies, and politicians.
Definitely.
Right.
So if you could just tell me if you are planning to go to a college, will it be hard to find a college that has a green campus, or are you seeing a lot more of that happening? And will you be looking specifically for a college or university that does have some green curriculum, although perhaps by the time you finish high school, you'll be well-versed, maybe you could go teach?
Yeah, I'd say I'm definitely looking for a place like that, like with green practices, but also just like centered around environmental studies and stuff like that for me. And I really think it's cool that a lot of colleges are starting to switch towards that. You hear about it all the time now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of becoming the bandwagon thing to jump on and start doing that.
Get that green bandwagon fired up.
Yep.
Right.
And I know that you've probably experienced something that I talk about often, and that is people assume that people who are studying environmental issues or working in the environmental arena are depressed and gloom and doom. It's actually quite the opposite, isn't it? Once you kind of confront where we are ecologically and find out that, you know, we can empower ourselves and others to turn it around, to make a difference or not, that we have a choice and that the window, the time frame is pretty narrow. How would you like to share that enthusiasm and what kind of students do you see, not at the Conserve School, but the schools you came from in terms of apathy about the environment, feeling overwhelmed, feeling angry that my generation and those, the one before have dumped this on you and you've got a big pile of dirt to dig out from? Or would you say more just the sort of temperature of students outside Conserve School as it relates to consciousness around the environment?
Well, I know at my home school, we're pretty unenvironmentally friendly, I guess you'd say. Definitely apathetic would be the right word. They don't really care. I know a lot of kids who don't really give a crap what happens to the environment. They don't seem to think that it matters, which is really different from Conserve School. Everybody here is an activist in their own way. And I think what really kind of needs to happen, at least in high school especially, would be more education and more empowerment so students, you know, they realize that they can make a difference and there are things that we can change, because I think people do feel overwhelmed. They don't think that they can change it, so they don't even try.
And just something to add to that, I've been talking to some of my friends about how we need to change things, and the constant reply that I get is that we're too far gone and that it's too much work and it's not worth it and stuff. And I'm like, you can't have that attitude. You can't be thinking, oh, it's too far. It's going to be too much work. I'm like, that's just a lazy attitude. We need to be doing things. But then also with the education, that we should be telling people that there have been improvements. It's going to work. It's not like we're fighting a endless battle that's making no progress.
Interesting, isn't it? How we went, maybe you're too young to have noticed this, but I've been in the green trenches for about 13 years and sort of environmentally tuned in for about 15, how we seem to have gone as a nation from problem, what problem, to it's too late. It's all over. And that window in between was all too short, and that's what we have to open and say, no, now is the time to, you know, get on board, and it will take everybody. It's not like just the environmentalists, the activists, can solve the problems that all of us are creating with our choices, and that's where education is so critical.
I feel that's true, that we need to be doing things like that.
Right, and I definitely personally think that if you just keep thinking it's too late, it's only going to keep getting worse, and eventually it actually will be too late, so you should probably start doing stuff now.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm sure both of you hope to have families when you grow up and grandchildren. And you, how can people give up on your future? How can you give up on your future? And that's why I'm trying to implore my fellow baby boomers, because if we're going to live to 110 or something, we have a lot of decades ahead to either be wasting and adding to the problem or helping you guys dig out. And, I mean, I'm not giving up on your future. I'm sure you feel mostly hopeful and optimistic that you're going to have a life filled with abundance and variety of, you know, food choices and a clean and healthy place to live, and it's really on your backs. And so I hope you scream loud that those before you should not give up the ship, certainly not your own generation.
Right, exactly. One of the things I think you mentioned in your talk in Rhineland, and that we've been learning about in AP Environmental Science, has been kind of the seven-generation rule.
Yes.
I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind, which, you know, try not to do anything that would harm people, not next year or the next year or your kids, but seven generations down the line. I think that's a really important thing to try and think about, and it's kind of empowering, you know.
I agree, and yeah. I try to even up the urgency and say the second generation from you, wherever you are, that's your grandchildren. And I'm a step-grandma, probably old enough to be a real grandma, and so it's not so far off. It happens quickly, and to give up on, you know, the next generation and after that is, I think you'll agree, unacceptable. And yet we have a lot of work to do if we're going to turn this ship around. So I want to thank you both for what you're doing, and tell the Conserve School that I wish them well, and I hope they grow, and I'm going to be telling people about it. Really glad to hear people can come from around the country to take part. And I think we should have these kinds of schools in states across the country, and I'm sure you'd agree.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Alex Butel and Kayla Fratt. They are two of about a dozen students I was very honored to meet back in Wisconsin about a month ago. And they were happy to hear me say the future is green or not at all. And I think Kayla said she put that quote and a couple of others up around her dorm room. Let's hope that those green jobs appear and that they are created, because if we don't transition to a cleaner, renewable energy-based future, we will have a lot of fossil foolishness ahead. And I would think that that whole scale across-the-board transition is going to take a lot of innovation, a lot of people, a lot of human resources to make that happen. And this is the generation coming up next, and at least a handful of them are getting educated and are communicating that concern. And we're going to talk in just a moment to someone else who is not only walking the eco talk but peddling the eco talk. Stay with us. I'm Betsy Rosenberg on the Green Front.